Side 2.
Suppose you have a special project in mind and you want to be sure that you have the maximum possible energy available. Let us say you're heading for a job interview. You've put that job on your miracle list and the universal law has opened a door and you're halfway there. Here is what to do. 1. Continue to see your miracle coming into physical reality. See yourself with a job granted until 72 hours before the interview, then forget it. 2. On the day of the interview, rise early. Spend as much time as possible on your own. Avoid interpersonal conflicts. Tell the universal law that you're ready and willing to accept the miracle you have been asking for. 3. Abstain from such energy-lowering substances as alcohol and drugs. 4. Eat lightly. The universal law manifests in you and through you. If you eat great amounts of heavy food, your energy slows, and the universal law within you has difficulty expressing itself. You should have salads, fruit, natural healthy food in sparing quantities. Stay away from junk food. 5. Before you set off for your interview, relax a moment. See the situation as flowing and positive. If you already know the person you will be meeting, see him or her in your mind's eye, happy and smiling, receptive to your energy. See the interview going well. See the miracle delivered. Step 6. Understanding time. Within the universal law, there is no time. Things are in a state of gradual evolvement. A tree has no concept of time because its essence is eternal. It responds to the warmth of the sun, but it is not in time. It develops from seed, expanding gradually to full maturity, and so it is with the universal law. It can deliver instantly, but if your energy is not all there, it will seem to you as if it has taken time. You have to learn patience and keep moving towards your goal, knowing that your thought forms will manifest. If you are moving towards one particular miracle and a different avenue opens up unexpectedly, take it. The universal law delivers in strange ways, and what you think you desire may just be your way of expressing a totally different goal. A good friend of mine wanted more than anything else to be a film director. He graduated from film school in London but found that he could not get any work because of a technical complication. To work in films in England at that time, you had to have a union card. But you could not get a union card unless you were working. In effect, the union created a closed shop. My friend's miracle was stuck. One day, out of the blue, he bumped into an old school friend who owned a restaurant, and because of his financial straits, he gladly accepted a job as a waiter. Working hard each day, he spent his spare time watching films and keeping his dreams alive through study. Each day at noon, a well-dressed old man came into the restaurant. My friend served him diligently, and over the months, the two of them became friends. One day, my friend asked the old man what he did for a living. The old man replied that he was just about to retire from a job that he'd held for many years. "What job is that?" asked my friend. "Oh, it's pretty boring, really," replied the old man. "I'm president of the Filmmakers Union. Not much ever happens." 15 years later, I was flying across the United States, lazily watching an in-flight movie, when to my great delight, I saw my friend's name on the credit of a major film. His miracle had been delivered. When you move into an energy alignment, you can never tell what will happen. Watch for signs. Use your feelings to help you decide. And if, after that, you're still not sure, do nothing. If a direction is right, you will know it automatically. If, however, making up your mind requires you to go through great trials and tribulations, you can be sure that that particular course is not the one for you. Basically, it is well to remember, if you have to ponder a decision, it is usually a mistake. When the universal law delivers, you will know. Start your miracle list with a couple of modest requests. Then, as you experience the universal law delivering, you will feel the power of success around you, and that in itself becomes a valuable affirmation. Each time you reorganize your list, spend a few moments thinking about how well your last miracles worked. Affirm your power by visualizing your success. Then, as you accomplish one miracle after another, you will have the confidence to go on to other things. Step 7. understanding your personal power. In conclusion, we will discuss how to establish an energy of power around you. Your mind's natural negative alignment will tend to make you think that your miracles are not going to come true. Therefore, in order to achieve complete success, you have to work constantly on your mind's doubt. Remind yourself that you're not your mind, and you do not accept an energy contrary to your goals. In this way, you establish a pattern of positive affirmation in your life. Write down in your own words 9 affirmations that express your belief in yourself and your complete fulfillment in this lifetime. 3 affirmations for the dawn, 3 for the day, and 3 for the night. Before reviewing your miracle list, relax, center your mind, then read your affirmations slowly. Make your affirmations strong. Be sure that you feel their power and that they mean something special to you. The words and feelings that you believe in have the strongest energy. Here are a few examples from which you can build. I am a powerful, positive individual, and all events in this day are for my highest good. What I am is beautiful, and I pull to me this day only beauty and refreshment. This day is a day of balance. I am completely aware of my body and all its needs. What I am is eternal, immortal, universal, and infinite. I see only beauty and strength every moment of my life. I see only beauty in all the people who are pulled to me, and what I am strengthens and refreshes what they are. What I am is infinite. I do not judge the evolution of others. What they are right now is for their highest good. Each action I take this day is an expression of the God force. Therefore, each action I take is a part of my infinite creativity. There is no real sin, only energy. I follow the energy of my highest evolution at all times, and so be it. I'm open at all times to communication from my inner self, and that communication leads me to my highest evolution. I give thanks for the beauty of this day, and may the energy of this night bring rebuilding and review. So be it. Your affirmation act like small twigs in a fire. As you rise, you begin to build energy in the day. Use your affirmations to keep that energy going. Center for a moment to acknowledge your infinite beauty and your place in all things, then proceed. If you're pulled into interpersonal conflict, take a few minutes on your own to repair your energy. And, before going out in the day, be sure that your energy is strong. If you care for your power and your balance and you center your life, no harm can befall you, and you enter into worlds that few people are even aware of. Create your day the way you want it. See it going well. See each person you meet as positive and open to your energy. See the day as harmonious and flowing, and see yourself evolving through each and every experience. Finally, before setting out in the day, see the white light of the living spirit around you, protecting you and strengthening what you are. Realize the more you believe in yourself, the stronger the white light becomes. It acts as your shield, and from time to time each day, you should re-energize it by seeing it vibrant and strong, and by affirming that what you are is a part of the living spirit or God, and that each moment of your life is one of exhilaration and learning. Your position on the earth plane as a miracle maker is inherent in the infinite power that lies within you. That limitless source lies there waiting for you to step up and collect your heritage. And when you do, the power will always be with you. And that is guaranteed. So be it. As we listen to my book, Miracles, there are probably a number of concepts contained in the book that you may not be familiar with, or that perhaps is different to some of the religious or philosophical beliefs that you may hold. And I can understand that. And of course, my belief is that each person should seek out from the information around them those concepts, those ideals, morals, and values that suit them. You're an individual, and you have to develop your own philosophy of life from within the context of living life. And using that philosophy and that morality, you will develop within yourself a powerhouse of strength, because it'll be yours. You won't be living a second-hand philosophy or a handed-down philosophy from somebody else. You'll be creating a philosophy that's strong and powerful, a philosophy that nurtures you, a philosophy that is designed with you at the center, with you at heart. As you begin to concentrate upon yourself, and as you begin to see your life in dedication, then, of course, energy grows, and it grows very, very quickly. You'll have the impression that things are only moving along slowly, and sometimes perhaps you may even find yourself being a little bit impatient with yourself, striving and yearning for more, and yet somehow not necessarily seeing all the results that you want all at once. However, you have to remember that the inner power that you have is a hidden energy. It does not manifest itself necessarily in events around you. However, as that power exudes, it is like a light that goes out, and bit by bit, everything begins to shine more brightly. At first, the change isn't really noticeable because the power that you've exuded over your affairs and your life, the energy that you've placed into your home and your job and the people that you love and the people that surround you, it has a pattern. For that pattern to change, it takes time. It takes time for the light to go inside that pattern of your life to enliven it. And usually you'll find that it'll take a number of months before the changes begin to occur, and then it'll take a number of years before all of those changes in your life are consolidated. You have a heritage or a goal in your life to become free, to become an absolutely powerful individual that is not dependent upon the rest of the world, that is not emotionally sucked into the world. You have a heritage to get to that peak. Most people never make it. And the reason they don't make it is because they are reluctant to move away from the old lifestyles. It's almost as if they live in a prison. The gate is always open. There are no guards. And yet somehow they've got so friendly with the prisoners and the regimen of living in this prison that they can't walk out of the gate. We're living in a world today where there is a very, very desperate need for enlightened beings, people that have a higher consciousness, people that can expound a new philosophy, a new light. You heard in the book me talking about the Golden Age, and that has been an archetypal symbol in the mind of man since the beginning of time. It's a belief that at some point, eventually, man will transcend his inadequacies and we will reach a world of absolute peace, absolute power, a world where all the people are nurtured, a world without prejudice, without evil, without restriction. But as a metaphysician and as an evolving person, you have to understand that 1,000 years in the history of our planet is just a bat of the cosmic eyelid. It isn't any time at all. And so often, as you look at, let's say, for example, the peace movements in the world, the hunger movements, the movements for social justice, the movements for full employment or whatever, you can see how everybody is yearning and rushing and pushing and trying to make it happen overnight. If you put that same kind of negative yearning into whatever cause you feel strongly about, what you're basically saying is the world is not okay. For you to have a transcendent lifestyle, a lifestyle of true power, where everything flows to you naturally, you have to see the world as beautiful. Inside the mayhem, there is all sorts of growth experiences. Inside the difficulty, the famine, the wars, there is man struggling through his inadequacies to discover himself. When you can understand that and detach a little bit, you can allow this whole process to take time. Can you imagine, if the God Force wanted to change the world, do you think it would be a problem? Do you think it would be a problem to infuse the minds of man with a peaceful energy so everybody became peaceful, or to infuse in the minds of man a greater sense of sharing so that all the people of the planet would have enough abundance? I'm sure that the God Force could do that if it wished, and yet it cannot infringe upon us any more than we should not infringe upon the people around us. It has to allow everybody to come up gradually and to understand those perceptions gradually. As you become more powerful and a stronger person, people are going to come around you. Your family members are going to want to know, hey, how come you're living a little bit of a different lifestyle? Or how come you've changed? Or how come you're looking smarter and your clothes look better and you're more groomed and it seems like you have more money and more travel and more fluidity? And they are going to come to you. When they come to you, you can act as a teacher. You can inspire. You can show them the positivity and the strength that is there in life. However, what happens to some people is they gain a modicum of power and then they want to go out and change the world. When you want to go out and change the world, what you're saying is the world isn't okay. And you have To accept it as beautiful, you have to accept that it is divinely perfect, even though to our finite minds, as we are in this energy pattern, battling through the inconsistencies, sometimes it seems to us like it's not okay. Hey, wait a minute, I feel pain, I feel discomfort, I feel frustration. Where's the employment? Where's the money? Where's the world peace? But in fact, when you look at it as an overview, if you could leave the planet and go up about 200 or 300 miles and look back at it, you can see that there is a gradual sense of improvement. You can look back to the 60s and see that, for example, the energy today in the 80s and as we move on into the 90s is much more powerful than it was in the 60s. And the 60s were more powerful than the 40s. And the 40s was a whole different era than the turn of the century. And so you can see that man is coming very, very quickly. I mean, almost like a train through the night in his evolution, but it will take time. And as you develop this power, your main function is to express it with this unconditional love to people, not imposing your opinion upon people, but just waiting for them to come along and ask you. If a person comes and asks you for information or for advice, give it to them as fairly and as equitably as you can. But don't go out and seek people to fix. Don't go out into the society and say, I've got to fix this. This is terrible. I've got to fix it. You don't have to fix it. It is what it is, and it's coming up as time goes on. If we look through the Miracles book, we can see that in it there are one or two unusual concepts or concepts that do not follow the average philosophy or the more usual religious philosophies. And I wanted to take a moment at this time to just extrapolate from the book and from those concepts and expand on them and to give you a greater awareness for your consideration. And then you can incorporate those concepts into your life if they feel comfortable for you, if they nurture you, or not include them as you wish. The first thing that you probably will have noticed from listening to Miracles is that there is an utter simplicity to it. The process isn't complicated. As human beings, we tend to think that things have to be difficult, that things have to have a modicum of struggle, that getting money has to take effort, that being in love has to mean that somehow we lose a part of ourselves or whatever it may be. In fact, when you look at nature and you look at life and you look at energy in motion, it is utter simplicity. Think of the clarity and the simplicity of a lightning bolt. It isn't complicated. It's just this pure flash of light. And in the same way, as you begin to create miracles in your life, be careful that you don't complicate the issue. Isn't it true that sometimes we'll head off on a project and we'll make it immensely difficult and immensely complicated when all we had to do actually was walk across the street? When you relax and you allow that freshness and that simplicity and that humbleness to come into your life, things appear automatically. Where it says in the Bible, the meek shall inherit the earth, meek did not mean wimpy or weak or people that you could punch up. It's basically a sense of simplicity, of naturalness, of an alignment to nature, an understanding that everything is perfect and that everything will flow to you. And as you come out of the intellect and more into this magnanimous feeling of limitless inside of you, the simplicity begins to develop and everything has a natural beauty. The next concept that I wanted to discuss was the concept of God as energy rather than as a personality. God as energy has been the cornerstone of all the mystical, metaphysical teachings through all time. And it was an understanding that, in fact, God is light. And that light is love, it's expansiveness, it's going beyond, it's outward seeking, it is nurturing and caring. In the old tribal days, you can imagine these tribal people with a very limited education, with sort of very low IQs, with very low life expectancy, living in difficult circumstances in the desert in North Africa, or a tribal person living in Central Australia. They didn't have an understanding of complex energy patterns. Psychology only began in the 1900s. Words that we take for granted, like ego and persona, and dream interpretation and psychoanalysis are all very modern concepts. In the olden days, tribal man did not go into his mind to seek out the complexity of the psyche.
the complexity of the subconscious mind. And so you had a tribal system where there was no electricity, there was no modern appliances. They just lived on the land with their animals, with their loved ones and tribal members around them. And so they had tribal leaders and tribal princes. Dukes owned various chunks of the territory. There were warlords and shoguns. And so it was natural for them to express a higher power or a divinity in a personality. I think one of the things that I found most interesting as I studied history and I studied the philosophies of nations as they developed was that most gods are male. In almost all of the traditions, they're male. And the reason that they are male is that the hierarchies of the tribes, the princes and the priests and the leaders of those tribes, were also male. There wasn't a conception of powerful goddess female. There has been that goddess energy, naturally, throughout the whole of history. But generally speaking, if you look at the major religions and the major philosophies of the world, God is always a male figure. And the reason that is so is because the tribal leaders and the warlords and the people that ran the tribes were considered the most powerful energy within that tribe. And they were masculine because they lived in a very earthy time. They had to be warriors to survive. They had to scratch a living from the earth with no tools, no electricity, no equipment to do it with. And so it was very important to be strong. And if you weren't strong, you died. In biblical times, life expectancy was only 20 to 30 years. I mean, if you were a 30-year-old male, you were old. I mean, really old. And wise. And so, as you look at this tribal system from which we have come and which is so much a part of our inner feelings, and you can see that we've inherited the masculine God idea from those early days. If you are in a religion or a philosophy that has one of these masculine God figures of the top of the philosophy or as the divine entity in the philosophy, then what you need to do is to somehow take the image of that masculine figure and bring it into yourself. As you try to expand power, it is almost impossible to do so if you see God outside of yourself. And the reason why it is so difficult to do that, if you do see God outside of yourself, is that what you're saying is, I do not control my life. Some entity above me or beyond me is controlling my life. And of course, that is the case for the vast majority of the population. But as you become a more powerful person, if you can internalize that male God figure inside of you and understand that that energy is exuding, then you can hold on to the philosophy and it doesn't affect the quality of your religious belief. In fact, the quality of that belief is enhanced because you get in greater touch with what that image is. But also, you internalize the energy and you have it in your life. And I think that's extremely important. You see, in those days, in the olden days, it was very hard. I mean, it was impossible, in fact, for a tribal member to understand God as light because they weren't part of energy. Today, we understand it. We understand what's in a light socket. If somebody talks to us about a laser disc, we may not necessarily know what a laser disc is in its intimate details, but we have an idea. We know what a laser beam of light might be. And so we're infinitely more sophisticated. If you met some of the characters out of the biblical times, you'd be amazed at how thick they were. You know, you wouldn't hang out with them for 5 minutes because you inside you have all of the energy of 2,000 years that has come on since. And so you have the sophistication of a society that's moving so many thousands of times faster than it was in the olden days. And so for you to develop that same kind of sophistication, I want you to consider internalizing your God figure or your divine entity, whatever that may be, and realize that that figure is inside of you rather than outside of you. And I think that's a comfortable way of converting yourself from one of the more older traditional philosophies into a philosophy of self-empowerment. And that, of course, is my main interest. I don't have an interest in changing your religion or changing your philosophy. I only have an interest in seeing that you become a more powerful being. The next concept that I think is important is that you'll notice in the book very early on, I talk about the God force or God being impartial. And that, to most people, is a very unusual concept because we have been taught that God had emotion. If, say, for example, you go into the Bible, you can read all sorts of stories about God being angry with these people and God being pleased over here and God telling people this, and there was a lot of emotion. If you've been to the Middle East and if you've been to the Holy Lands, you know that the people that live there are extremely emotional people, and they have a sense of exaggeration about the way they describe things. When two people have a fight, in an Arab country. It may be only a fight about a car parking space outside the local cinema, but the way they talk to each other is in vastly exaggerated terms. I mean, they threaten all sorts of mutilation and mayhem to each other over one little parking space. When they're in love, they do the same thing. They talk about the moon and the stars and the light of the person's eyes and their incredible beauty, and it's just a way of talking. And as you look at that, you can see how we inherited in modern times the idea of an emotional God. In fact, that isn't correct. The life force that permeates all things, the God force that permeates all things, is an energy that has your evolution at heart and loves you because you are it and it is you. But it is not intimately involved in whether you're happy or not happy, or whether you had cornflakes for breakfast or didn't. And so when you pull out of that emotional relationship, then you win back part of your own power. I've been involved over about 10 to 12 years in research in altered states of consciousness, and I've been through the whole gamut of what is open to people in that area, including trance states and out-of-body experiences, ESP, psychokinesis, and 1001 things that go bump in the night. And one of the things that I found was that I had the ability to entrance my mind and to achieve very, very low levels of brainwave activity and still remain awake. A normal person or a person that hasn't trained in brainwave techniques or in altered states of consciousness, as their brainwaves slow down, they automatically cross the threshold into sleep. And the training basically that I was involved in was a training of learning to stay awake when the brain is basically dormant. As I got involved in that, I began to see symbols, and I trained in understanding how symbols express themselves in those inner worlds. And one day, when I was in a meditation, in a trance, I saw this tube. And it's the same tube that people who've had near-death experiences describe. And it's a tube that seems to lead to other worlds. If you're familiar with those near-death books, basically what happens is somebody has a terrible accident and they get them to hospital and they basically die. And in that death process, they come out of their bodies and usually they go up this tube or this tunnel. And at the end of the other tunnel is some kind of celestial kingdom. And often they're met by some kind of spiritual entity or Jesus or whatever their symbol is. And then, because their body recovers on the operating table, they get twanged back into their body. Usually the spirit entity says, "Not yet." And then, bang, they're back. And the surgeon's pumping adrenaline into their heart. Well, one of the things was that when I was in these altered states of consciousness, I saw this tube. And eventually, over a period of years, I had the ability to move up through this tube and to direct my consciousness to the other end of the tube and to enter into those celestial worlds. One of the first things that I discovered there was the nature of this God force or this light. And so when I talk to you about the God force, I'm talking to you from my own experience. Subjective as it might be, it's an experience that I've actually had. And the light is more magnanimous, more loving, more expansive than there are real words to describe. But the first thing that I did notice was that that light or that energy didn't have a lot of stuff or opinion about who I was. Unconditional love is the total acceptance of another being. And the way that the God force relates to you is to totally accept you. If the God force was emotionally involved in your life, then that would not be total acceptance. And so that was one of the realizations that I had in these experiments, and I've talked to other people who've had the same experience, and each and all of them confirm the same characteristics of the impartiality. And the impartiality does not come from not caring. It is not like the life force or the God force doesn't care about you. It's more like it loves you so much that it will allow you the time and the patience to become what it is you want to be. As you look at the book, you can see that I talk about how the world is energy, and that your body is energy, and everything that you are is energy. If you can begin to identify with that infinite self inside of you, rather than your body or the physical things around you, you very, very quickly link in or go back into that infinity inside of you. And I think that's important, because the way to create a miracle is to understand that it'll have to move through energy to get to you.
This is the end of the side. please fast forward.